So the leaders were a little upset as to what happened. The people were excited. You know, the people, the everyday people were excited. They'd seen a miracle. They'd seen something they never thought would happen. But the leaders, they were not so happy because they were afraid, right? And why do leaders get afraid? It's because they're afraid of losing their power, because their identity is tied up in their power. And every kind of leader falls into that same trap, where they think that if I somehow lose power, and the power that was exhibited, he said, was the power of Jesus. And he reminds them, it's the one that you got wrong. So he preaches again to the leaders and says, listen, this is who Jesus is. The one you rejected is actually the most important person that you can think about. And he goes on to say, therefore there's salvation. It comes through Jesus Christ and him alone. He says there's no other name given under heaven by which mankind may be saved except the name of Jesus, because the name of Jesus, as we're going to see in just a minute, carries the ultimate power and the ultimate authority. But this whole story, I believe in chapter 4, is about power and authority. So it's the authorities that are questioning them and asking them, how do you do this? By what power or what name are you doing this? And of course, Peter preaches Jesus to them again, as Stephen read for us. And then right after that, they begin to discuss among themselves. They're like, well, what's going on here? Well, we can't let this happen. You know, this is something that we can't let happen because we're going to lose our power. We're going to lose our influence. You know, so they said, we have to find a way to stop this. But as they continued to discuss, they realized this was going to be hard because the people were so excited. The people were like, this is great. The man was healed, it says later on, was over 40 years old. They're like, we did not expect this to happen. The people are praising God. How are we possibly going to stop this thing from spreading? So they bring Peter and John in, and they say, listen, you've got to stop. You've got to stop speaking or doing anything in this name. But you have to do it. And of course, Peter, with the boldness of the Holy Spirit, says, you're going to have to figure out for yourselves what's better. Is it better for me to obey you or to obey God? Once again, the question of authority comes in. Whose authority do we fall under? Because yes, they were the religious authorities. But there came a point when the question had to be asked. When the authorities are in conflict, who do I follow? Who has the ultimate authority? So the leaders are frustrated. And the leaders say, you know, we can't really do anything about this, you know, but we want you to stop, okay? And what I want to focus on next is what happens to Peter and John after they leave. They couldn't decide how to punish them, so Peter and John went back to their own people and they reported everything that had happened. They went back to the community of faith that was their strength, that was their new home. And they said, this is what's happened. And when the people heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer. And so as we look at this story and we see that here's the setting, there's this power and authority struggle going on, and Peter and John are clearly stating that Jesus has the power and the authority not only to heal, but to save all of mankind, all of humanity, that there is a power that is greater than yours, and there is an authority that is greater than yours. And when they come back to the people, to the community, they then engage in this prayer together. And I think it's a wonderful prayer that would be for us as well. As Hartford City Church, as a community of faith, as children of God, this is a prayer that I think would be good for us as well. So let's spend some time in this prayer this morning. It says in Acts chapter 4, if you're following along again, in verse 24, it says, when they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you've made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? And the kings of earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord, against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God boldly. Isn't that what we want? Don't we want to see that kind of power? You see, we have a longing to see that kind of power because somehow that power, that shaking of the place, validates that God's presence was there and validates that what was happening was true. And we long for that because unfortunately we've seen too much of a powerless faith, of a faith that people claim but can't even seem to change their own life, let alone anybody else's life. And so the first thing we have to consider is that if we claim to have a faith or a relationship with God that is not changing our own life, then do we really possess that faith? Are we really following the way of Jesus? Because we long for that. And like we talked about last week, we're skeptical by nature. We don't think that that kind of power, that kind of healing, that kind of manifestation happens today. But I like to say, why not? Why not? What is the evidence that it does not happen today? When in fact there is evidence around the world that the power of God is being made manifest, and that people are being healed, and that people are being set free, and that people's lives are changing, where you can actually see that change, right? And you know that it's the power of God that is at work. Because while we have been given power, yes, we know that our given power is not even as great as the power of God. And so I want to talk today about power and authority. And I want to talk about how we can live in a kind of power and authority that will shake the place up, all right? That can truly shake things until a difference is made, right? So when they pray, they begin by talking about the authority and the power of God. That's exactly what their prayer is about. And then what they ask for is the authority and the power of God in their lives. So that's what this is all about this morning, the power and the authority of God as it gets expressed in our own lives. So first, they begin with the term sovereign Lord. It's very important, sovereign Lord. It's a word that means the leader, the one who is in charge of everything. And they said, you have the authority, God. You are over all. And then they consider the power of God, for you made, it says, the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything that's in it. And friends, I believe that if we want to see our lives change, that we need to spend some time reflecting upon the power of God, right? When was the last time you sat and thought about the power of God? Again, we forget sometimes who it is that really has the power in this world, right? And sometimes we think that God is maybe not answering a prayer, or maybe we're not experiencing some kind of power, but all you've got to do is open your eyes and take a look outside and remember the power of God. For when we forget the power of God, we forget our place. And it doesn't mean that our place is something that's bad. It's actually something that's very good. In fact, I want to tell you this morning that your place is actually better than you think it is. But it's because of God first. We have to think about the things of God. We have to soak in the things of God. And it's a worthwhile exercise in and of itself to reflect upon and think about the power of God. So I wanted to take just a moment and do that this morning if we could. You know, at the risk of maybe reading something that's a little longer, we should reflect upon the power of God, right? There's a book in the Old Testament, the Hebrew Scriptures, called Job. And many people think the story of a man named Job is one of the oldest stories in human history. In fact, there are similar stories across other religions and other people. But the story of a man named Job, who tested by God and Satan, loses everything that he has, his wealth, his lands, his homes, even his children and his family and his health, to be saved, will you still yet praise God? And he continues to praise God up until a point where he says, you know what? God is not fair. What's happening to me is not fair. You know, so I think I can challenge God. I think I actually have a case against God, right? Some of you may know people like that. Some of you may be a person like that. That's not an unusual place to get to, where we're looking at our life and saying, you know what, God? Something's not right here. And I have an issue. And a lot of us, our real issue is an issue with God. It's not an issue with each other necessarily, or even an issue with the government, or an issue with any other kind of authority. When you get down to it, we have an issue with God. When life doesn't go the way we think life should go. And so God appears to Job. And this is what God says. The Lord spoke to Job out of the storm in Job 38. And he says, who is this that obscures my plans with words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man and I will question you and you shall answer me. Sometimes when we want God to show up, he shows up. And he says, brace yourself. Because I want to remind you of a few things. He said, where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off the dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched out a measuring line across it? On what footings were it set? Who laid the cornerstone of this earth? We can look at the greatest buildings in the world and marvel at the power and knowledge that it took to build them. But God says, I built this earth. Amen. Who knows where the cornerstone of the earth is, right? It says, who shut up the sea behind the doors when it burst forth from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment and wrapped it in thick darkness. When I fixed limits for it and set its doors and bars in place. When I said, this far you may come and no farther. This is where your proud waves halt. Were you there, Job? Do you understand when the seas were released and how I measured off lines for them? And I said, this far shall you go and no further. Where were you, Job? It says, have you ever given orders to the morning or shown the dawn its place? That it might take the earth by the edges and shake the wicked out of it. The earth takes shape like clay under a seal, and its features stand out like those of a garment. The wicked are denied their light, and the upraised arm is broken. Have you journeyed to where the sea begins? Have you journeyed to the springs of the sea, Job? Do you know where darkness resides? Do you know where light resides? Have you entered the storehouses of snow or seen the storehouses of hail? Have you gone to the place where lightning comes from, or where the winds are created? Friends, this is power. Yep. This is true power. The power of God who created the heavens and the earth, and yet actively is involved in sustaining them. You know, that's the kind of power I'm talking about. The one who can hold lightning bolts and tell them when to go and when not to go. And when we get that perspective, suddenly we begin to understand, don't we? A little perspective of true power begins to help us understand that we serve a God, that there is a God who exists, that's created, that has more power than we can imagine. Yeah. Even the collective efforts of humanity, as powerful as we are, God is that much more powerful. Yeah. And it's his power that raised the lame man and let him walk. And it's power that raised Jesus from the dead. And it's his power that can be in our lives. That's why I say more powerful than you realize. Second thing is authority, right? Let's move to authority. Because they pray, they say, Lord, you are the sovereign Lord. Because look, these leaders, these earthly leaders, the kings, the governors, the Caesars, the presidents, the dictators, the leaders, the ones in charge, got together and they conspired against you. But he said they only did what you had planned beforehand. It was by your authority and your power that overrules them. He said, why do the nations shake and why do they plot in vain? And the image he uses is very poetic. It's like a horse that's shaking its head and neighing, but it's got the bridle on and it's controlled by the one who rides it, right? Controlled by the one who rides, but they shake their head and they make all these plans, but they're empty. Vain just means empty. They're empty. They can't really do anything when they try to come against the God who has all of the power and all of the authority, right? So we need to understand that not only does God have all the power, but that God has the ultimate authority. He's called the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And again, they in their prayer, they acknowledge that these earthly rulers only were acting according to what you had decided beforehand, your will and your power. So there it is again. The will is God's authority. The power is obviously is God's power, okay? And they have, we have to understand that. And that's where we should be praying as well. We should reflect upon God's power. And we should reflect upon his authority. And I want to talk about that a little bit because that's easily misunderstood, isn't it? We sang a song this morning, Forever He is Glorified. And the image that we use when we sing Hallelujah, the Lamb has overcome, is interesting, isn't it? Because it's not a lion or a powerful beast that's mentioned, but it's a lamb. Why is it a lamb that has the authority? Because the lamb is the one who is the sacrifice. The lamb is the one who laid down his life. The lamb is the one who everyone writes off as weak and insignificant and of no account. And that's what people tried to do to Jesus. But as the song sang, the ground began to shake because the critic could not hold him. They thought, oh, he's just one of these teachers. He's just a teacher. He's just a man. He's just another guy with another idea trying to gain a following, right? But they were wrong about it. And the early church continued to witness and testify, you're wrong about this one. Because while Jesus had all authority and all power, he set it aside, right? I mean, he set it aside. It says that he laid it aside so that he would humble himself, so that he would become a servant, so that you might find the one who has the most authority in the universe, the one who was washing your feet. And because he did that and submitted, because he submitted to the will of his Father, even though he was equal with God, catch this, we believe that Jesus and God the Father are equal, but yet he was able to separate and submit himself to show us, to submit himself to the Father and to say, I don't even speak by myself, right? But I only speak what the Father tells me to speak. I only do what the Father tells me to do. So he put himself under that authority. The Bible says, became obedient, even to death. Remember that time? He's in the garden. He's crying out to God, Father, are you sure? Are you as absolutely sure that this is what I must do? Am I going to have to die on this cross? And the Father says, yes. And the Son says, thy will be done. Your will be done. In my life, I'm submitting to authority. Well, what happens because he submits to that authority? Then it says God raised him, right? To the highest place. Gave him the name that's above all other names. Glorified him to be the highest authority. Because he was willing to submit to authority, he was glorified and raised to the highest authority. And that's the kind of God that we serve. The one who is willing to set it aside. Because here's what we think about power, right? We think that we lose power if we give it away. So now I'm going to talk about life here for a second, right? That's the way this world operates. We think that if we give power, we're going to lose it. That's why the leaders were upset. That's why the rulers were upset. That's why Pilate was upset. Because they were saying Jesus is Lord. And they're like, wait a minute. In the Roman Empire, you're supposed to say Caesar is Lord. Caesar is Lord. Caesar is Lord. You start saying Jesus is Lord. Well, wait a minute. That's going to get me in trouble. I'm going to lose my power. I'm going to lose my authority if anyone else has it. And we think power is just this thing that there's only so much of, friends. And that's why we have these problems that we have in the world today, or part of the reason. Because we think those with the power have to keep it for themselves. And we think that that's just the way the world is, right? But yet the true nature of power is that when you give it away, it expands, it doesn't diminish. And that when you actually empower other people, you won't lose your power. So what are we afraid of?
Yes.
When we want to empower other people, when it won't diminish our power, but it'll actually increase our power, that when we give it away, we'll find even more, that when we sacrifice, we'll find that it's given back to us, that when we lay down our life, we'll find that there's truly life. When we're willing to die, we will find that we truly live. And when we are willing to serve one another, we will have more authority and power than we ever could have dreamed of. That is the true nature of power. There's another question people ask. And I thought about something new into this old story today that I wanted to share with you. One of the things Christians have loved to kind of debate and discuss and think about, right, is how much is God in control, right? If he controls everything, then why do I have to do anything, right? That's the sovereignty of God. God's in control. He controls everything, right? Everything's determined. He's deciding what's going to happen. So, you know, what do I do, right? There's other people who say, no, we have free will. We can decide for ourselves what we want to do. And so therefore, it's all on us, right? And there's this debate about, you know, God's sovereignty versus free will. And everybody's arguing about it. Can I tell you something this morning? Both of those positions in their extreme have led to problems in the way we live our lives. Because I think the only answer is that it's both. It's very clear from the scripture that God is the sovereign Lord. It's very clear that everything happens according to his will and his power, right? It's very clear that God is in charge. But it is also very clear that with that authority and power, he gave you the ability to choose. So by his power and authority, he gives you power and authority over certain areas and parts of your life, right? so that we know this intuitively, so that we say, while there are many things I can't control who my parents were, I can't control, you know, how tall I get, how short I get, I don't control where I was born, or what country I was born in, or what situation I was born in. All of these things that drastically affect who I am and who you are were things that were beyond your control. But yet, you control so much. You choose what to say. You choose what to do. You choose where to work. You choose the clothes you put on this morning. Some of you, I hope. Some of you, I hope someone else chose that for you. Yes, I chose this shirt. You can judge me later. Okay, right? We choose. We have this tremendous ability to choose, but yet there are all these other things that we don't control. Okay? So they exist together. But yet when it comes to our faith, we're often arguing over which one is true. And here's the problem with the extremes. For if God is in control and there's nothing we can do, we just have to submit to the will of God. It's all predestined. It's all planned out for us. There's no choice. God is in control. And you know what happens? Then we treat our human systems the same way. Those who have the power have the power. There's nothing we can do about it. And that means those few that are privileged and they get that power, that's just the way it is. And we know that humans with too much power will probably get corrupt, will probably not be able to handle it. But that's just the way it is. And we just, our goal is to try to get people to accept that. You guys with me? You know of situations and cultures that do this, right? Cultures that have maybe a caste system where they categorize people, right? You're just born into a certain level and that's where you are. That's it. People throughout history have tried to justify the oppression of other people by saying they were born that way, or that's God's judgment upon them, or God has blessed me because I happen to be in the position of privilege and power, and that's just the way it is. Because power is limited and given to just a few. On the other hand, if we're a Christian who likes to say, oh, it's free will, we all have a choice to make. Everybody has a choice to make. You know how we get off with that? Then we live our lives saying, I can do whatever I want. Because it's free will, right? And I don't think my free will Christians really understand that if you go that far. Because what you're really saying is, I can do whatever I want. I'm the one who has the choice. I'm the one who has the power. And many people believe that, again, because of the disappointment of earthly powers and the disappointment they have with God. Can I just say that this morning in my prayers for you? Some of you have a deep disappointment with God that maybe you haven't even named yet. And I'm praying for you. I have a very good friend who's going through that now, who's just deeply disappointed because God hasn't done something in their life that they had hoped to see, right? That's our disappointment. And so we say, well, then I'll control myself. I'll do me. I'll take care of me, right? And because I have free will, I have the power, I have the authority. And really what happens is that we need to understand these things come together so that the power that God has and the authority God has, he's given us power and authority. And when we exercise our power and authority in the name of Jesus, in accordance with the power and authority of Christ, then things can happen. Then things can change. And you'll notice that their prayer request is simply for those two things. They ask only two things. I mean, here is a church that is struggling. Here's a church that's about to be persecuted. Here are people that are going against the system. Here are people that are saying everything you believe up to this point is wrong. Okay, there's a change coming. Something new is coming. There's a new understanding, a new reality that's bursting forth. They're challenging the religion. They're challenging the government. They're challenging the culture. And what do you, in that situation, and some of them are poor, and some of them are going to lose their jobs, and many of them are going to lose their lives for this. And what do they pray for? What do they pray for? Traveling mercies and blessings? Sorry. They pray that they can speak the word of God boldly, and that God would stretch out his hand and perform signs and wonders. What do they pray for? Authority? To speak the word of God boldly. You speak the word of God boldly when you speak under the authority that Christ has given you. And then power to stretch out his hand through them and to continue to do these signs and miracles so that people might know. So you got that? So they pray by reflecting upon God, you have all the power and you have all the authority. Now will you give us the authority to speak boldly? And will you give us the power through your power to stretch out and ask us that things happen? Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Isn't that cool? And that's the prayer that I have for us. That we would be a people who understand the authority and the power of God in our lives. And we understand that we don't get nervous. We don't fret. We don't worry. Christians, I want to tell you, you don't need to worry. Because there ain't nobody as crazy as Herod was. And there's no politician who was as wily as Pilate was. And so there's no political candidate or leader that can do anything but shake their head at what God has already planned. At what God's will and God's power is. And I think God is saying, church, it's time to do what I've called you to do. Because as children of God, there are things that only you can do. Because you've been given the power and the authority of Jesus Christ in your life. And there are things that only we can do together that we need to start doing. We need to start healing people. We need to start helping people be set free. Right? Come on, we need to be bold in our proclamation of the gospel. We need to understand that we have an authority that's behind us. That we don't speak of our own accord, but we speak what God has put in our mouths to speak. And when we speak that, we speak with authority. And when we operate in the power, that's Jesus' name. That's what Jesus' name is all about. The name of Jesus is the power and the authority of Christ. Amen. It's the power and the authority of Christ. And he says, listen, just access it like a child. Just believe that you've been given power and authority, that somebody came and just gave it to you. And take it. One time several years ago on one of my ministry trips, we were in El Salvador, right? And we were working with a girls' home and we were going to repaint that day. Somebody here was here with me that day, right? Somebody said, amen. We were going to paint that day. And it happened to be my birthday that day. And so I went to a friend of mine. I said, Evan, I'm going to take the day off. It's my birthday. I said, you work for a painting company. You're in charge of the whole team, right? And I gave him the power and the authority, right? Well, he had to step into it. He had to step into it. He had to stand up and say, you know what? Okay, I'm going to tell people what to do, you know? And then, of course, it was hard for me to give that up. So I tried telling someone else what to do, and he said, excuse me, who are you? He's like, Evan, this guy's bothering me. And I'm like, that's right, I got to step back. Let someone else be in charge. But God, when God says, I give you the power and the authority as my child, what does he say? To proclaim, to cast out demons, to heal the sick, to set people free, to witness to the high, to the low, to the east, to the west. He gives you everything that you need for life. He gives you that authority and power as a child of God because the Holy Spirit rests inside of you and the Holy Spirit is upon you. And what we see at the end of this story is the Holy Spirit filling them again. So the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes when we receive Christ, but that filling comes again and the place gets shaken again and we feel that again. It's an ongoing experience of God's power and his presence and his authority. In a place that can fill us and that can move us out to do what God has called us to do. And the purpose was for salvation, for the proclamation of the gospel. That's why the signs and the wonders are there to set people free. They needed to know this because persecution was coming. They were going to be killed. They're soon to be run out of the city of Jerusalem. They're soon to lose their lives. And some of them, their homes, and all of their possessions. They're about to have a Job-like experience. Right? But God prepares them. Says, I've given you power and authority. So that when that time came, God simply used it to take this message to the other parts of the world. And in one place, one of the guys that took it was Paul. And he took it across up into what is Turkey now and into what is Greece now. And he writes to the people of Thessalonica in Greece. He said, listen, you know what we said was real. Because it wasn't just words. But there was power, there was the Holy Spirit, and there was deep conviction. And so when you feel those things, friends, just like the apostles of old, when you hear us speak, know that we're saying it's not us. It's not me. But if there's power, if there's the Holy Spirit, if there's deep conviction in your life, it's because God is at work. It's the authority and the power of God that is at work in your life. So what do we do with this? And here's where we start to come home, okay? Here's where we bring it out. What do we do with such power and such authority? What does it mean for our lives? Well, first of all, let me say this. As with everything in God, it is rooted in God's character, who He is. And the main thing you need to know about God's character is that it's love. It's love. So therefore, love is the basis and the vehicle for God's power and His authority. Amen? Because we don't see that. That's not the world. This is not the world's power and authority. I don't look at these people yelling and screaming and saying their foolish things on the television and on the radio and think, wow, that guy is really loving us. Or that woman really loves this country. No, they love themselves. You know, maybe they listen to too much Justin Bieber. I don't know. But true love. Thank you, amen. Somebody got that. Thank you. True love. True love means that we act on behalf of others. And it's in love that we move in power. Power that comes in love, that's not oppressive. That doesn't demean someone. That doesn't use someone so that you can accomplish someone else. Power that comes in love is power that sets people free, right? It's power that sets people free. There are still people in slavery, in legitimate slavery, friends, in this world. The true power comes and sets them free and says to that little false power, no more. No more do you have your power, but the power of God is coming in to set them free. But not only that, to set you free too, if you let it set you free. And the authority that comes is an authority that comes in love. And friends, that's what we miss sometimes. And today I pray for your healing in Jesus' name if you've had to suffer under an authority that was not love. If you've had to suffer under a quote-unquote authority that did not come in love, but came in anger and came in violence and came in a way that put you down and said you were no good, that is no authority. The authority that comes from God is the authority that comes in love. And the authority that God gives us is an authority that comes in love. For it's because of the love of God, the great, great love of God, that we have power and authority, and that we have confidence in this life for everything that we need. And that's where I wanted to end with this morning, is in Romans chapter 8. Perhaps my favorite chapter in the entire Bible, Romans chapter 8. The writer says, what shall we say then in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Amen? If God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for you, the God who has this kind of power, the God who laid the foundations of the earth and controls the thunder and the lightning and the wind and the waves, that's the kind of God you have on your side. Amen? If He is for you, then who can be against you? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for everyone, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? If God gave His Son, Jesus Christ, for you, how can He not give you everything? Everything is yours, amen? Everything. And then this, the authority. Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? No, nobody. It's God who justifies. Who is it that condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, raised to life, is at the right hand of God and interceding for us, amen? Interceding for us. What kind of authority is there in your life? Man, someone has judged you, right? Someone has put you down. Someone has condemned you. Someone has said you're no good, or you're not a good Christian, or something's wrong with your life. Who is that person compared to Jesus, who died, was raised to life, is at the right hand of God, and at the right hand of God, He's interceding for you. You know what that means? That means He's speaking on your behalf to God Almighty. He's saying right now, He's saying, God, do everything for the best of my son, Jerome. Do everything. My daughter, Rachel. My daughter, Laura. My son, Josh. I'm for them. I'm for them. And if I'm for them, then nobody can be against them. Nobody can be against them. For he goes on to say, Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Nothing. Hardship? Yes. You may have hardship. We have hardship in this life. It is a difficult life. Persecution. We've been spoken against. Some people have had stuff come against their lives. Famine. We have not had enough to eat. Nakedness. We don't have enough to wear sometimes. I got one pair of clothes. I got one loaf of bread. That story is around the world, friends. God is aware. Can that separate you from the love of Christ? No. Danger, a sword, an army might come against you. Terrorists might come against you. Other people might come against you. Can that separate you from the love of God? No. He says, we face death all day long. We face death all day long. We're like the sheep. They're just headed to the slaughter. But in all these things, we're more than conquerors. Amen? Amen. The Lamb who was slain is the Lamb that is overcome. Amen? And we are like sheep sometimes that feel like we don't have any power or any authority. But he says we are more than conquerors, even as little sheep, through Jesus Christ who loved us. Amen? Amen? We need to get excited about that. We need to know that. We need to know that there is power and there is authority in your life because of the love of Jesus Christ, because of the love of God. He says nothing will separate us from the love of God. Death, life, angels, demons, the present, the future, any powers, height, depth, anything else in all creation, none of that can separate you from the love of Christ, from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ, my Lord. Nothing can separate you. Nothing can separate you. Nothing can separate you from that love. Nothing. Nothing can separate you. You need to know that this morning. You need to know that because God has the power and authority, that in his love he has given you power and authority to act on his behalf in this world. And friends, we need that. We so desperately need it because there are people who are waiting for that to happen. Who are waiting for that. And if today you've come, and today you've been waiting for God's power in your life. You've been waiting for that love of God to come into your life. If you have someone that's against you, if you feel like you're being attacked, then know that today God is calling you to stand in his love and to stand in his protection and to stand in his authority and to stand in his power. For he says, I went through this for you. And because I went through it, I have the authority to call you to myself. As we conclude this morning, we're going to partake of communion of the elements. And it's a reminder that what God has done, he invites us into. That the very life of Jesus Christ, including his power and his authority, and most of all, his great, great love, he makes available to us. And when we eat bread and we drink the cup, we remember that the presence and the life of Christ comes into us. Let's pray as we prepare for that. Lord, we pray at this moment, God, that you would just seal in our hearts what your Holy Spirit is telling us right now. We pray, God, that we would leave here today changed, transformed by your power and your love. Lord, we submit to your authority in our lives. And Lord, enable us. Let us speak boldly the gospel of Jesus Christ. And God, would you stretch out your hand in this place? And would you heal and perform signs and wonders among us and in this city of Hartford where we worship together?